An elven warrior trapped on modern-day Earth. Two friends with different destinies meet at a magical school. These are some of the stories we at Electric Lips Comics are working on. You can get your copies of both The Mana Chronicles and Tales of Mithril at elpmerch.com. Support independent creators. Explore the merch featuring exciting ELP Comics art with a wide range of designs. Electric Lips Comics. Imagination electrified.
Welcome to the Mostly Pod Art at Night. Mostly, I am Salem, joined by my co-host, Graveyard.
Hello.
This is episode 126 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. It's that time of the year again. Jingle bells are ringing. Santa may not be in any of these films, but they are still ho-ho horrible.
Yeah.
So break out your tactical Christmas gear, be nice to the mutated fetuses, and ask your spirit box for something nice this year. So these movies, I'm not going to sugarcoat this, are fucking terrible. I'm sorry. All three of these are just bad.
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers, I guess. So we're going to do three of them. There's Red Christmas, Hell on a Shelf, and The Mean One. We'll start off with Red Christmas. I'll let you do Hell on a Shelf because you made me watch it, so can talk about it.
That is only fair. You know, spoiler too is like, you know, this episode made us rethink what we do for Christmas movies and scour the internet for much, much better ones.
Wow. I mean, the first one's not good, right? But it was like, it's your typical kind of, you know, Christmas quality horror film. The other two are just wow. I will jump right into it here with Red Christmas from 2016. The only person that you will know in it is Dee Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is from Australia. Interestingly enough.
Yes.
So it starts off as all great Christmas stories do with abortion.
Mm-hmm.
abortion like wars. It seems like abortion wars. I don't know what's really happening, but there's like abortion wars. There's like gunfire and explosions and like lots of people talking about abortions. And and then it cuts to Dee Wallace like making up her house for Christmas. I guess it comes into play later, but that's literally how they start the movie. So,
mm-hmm.
They do that. So, Dee Wallace is making up. I'm going to kind of frost over a lot of the stupid shit that happens because it's pretty pointless. But, essentially her and her Australian family all get together. Like her husband is dead. And her brother is the old guy. He's American. He's wearing a White Sox hat.
Yeah.
So all her children are somehow Australian.
Yes, nothing screams Australia than two American parents or aunt and uncle.
Right. Yeah. Mom is American, uncle is American, and all the children have like Australian accents. Like, I don't quite get it. But hey, no. That's okay. There's a religious daughter, right? Like, I don't know, Mormon daughter, like Mennonite daughter. I don't know how to describe her with her, like, I don't know, pastor, youth pastor, kind of creepo husband.
Yeah.
They don't have any children, even though they've been trying for years to have them. Her other sister, who I'm going to call, like, I don't know, the loose and free sister.
The hippie.
Yeah, the loudmouth sister. she is pregnant and she has a husband, and they're like, I call them loose and free because like she's pregnant and there's like, I guess, two like weirdly pregnant sex scenes in the beginning of this film.
Yes.
I don't I don't quite know why. I think just to show that, like, the creepy youth pastor was, like, watching them in the bathroom, and they were, like, very loud and left the door open. So I guess they're just kind of locking down their personalities here. And then their other brother, Jerry, has Down syndrome, and he's obsessed with Shakespeare.
Yep.
And keeps quoting them and speaks in, like, Shakespearean English.
Yes.
Which is fun. I think that's everybody, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So they're all, like, sitting around, you know, Christmassy stuff, like, oh, we're going to open up some presents. Ding dong. I guess there's a scene earlier where the guy gets beat up and peed on.
Yep. Essentially, he looks like a mix between Phantom the Opera and Darkman.
Yeah, he's just like in a monk's robe that covers up his whole body, and he talks in like this weird slurring tone.
Yep.
But anyway, he gets beat up and peed on by some random dude in the woods, and then he kills him and whatever. I guess we're just supposed to get introduced to his character that way. But anyway, he comes to the house, rings the doorbell, and is trying to like say he has a letter for his mother. They try to shoo him away, and then Dee Wallace is like, oh, it's Christmas, you know, let him in. So he comes in, and he insists on reading this letter to his mother. And everyone's assuming that, okay, well, why don't you just read it to your real family? Like, you know, we're not your family.
Right.
And so he's reading it, and it becomes obvious that he is insinuating that Dee Wallace had a abortion. Mm-hmm. Like 20 years earlier, and that he is somehow the survived abortion.
Yes, because they show at the beginning montage of the baby being taken out of the garbage can. That's how it works. Baby's alive, put in garbage can. That's it.
Right. Okay, so that's like, of course, Dee Wallace freaks out, kicks him out of the house. Everybody is like frazzled and like upset. And, you know, they try to, like, go back to Christmas, but, of course, it's not quite the same. And then, you know, I think later on, like, their power goes out, and they're all kind of trying to, like, figure out how the power is going to be back on, and they hear stuff outside, and they go outside. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I forgot about the punk rock younger daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Which it doesn't matter because she's the first one to die. That's why I was saying. So she goes outside. She gets, like, chopped in half by an axe.
Like in one swipe, one
yeah, hit. One swipe, just chopping it up by an axe. Everybody freaks out. They all like run upstairs in the house. They're all like hiding in the house. The old uncle is like goes and gets like the shotgun, and he's like trying to check out like the garage to try to see like what's going on out there. You know, whatever he sees, he ends up seeing you know some stuff out there. He's trying to find it. He finds her dead body out there. But anyway, so the guy ends up inside the house, and he kills the loose sister's husband.
Yep.
So then they, you know, freak out and scream, and they're all like running, and like they lead him out to the garage, and they're all hiding in the garage. The old guy goes out to try to get the car to bring around so that they can be rescued. He gets, you know, struggles and fights and gets murdered in the car. And then, right. I mean, it's like back and forth between the house and the garage. They're all trying to like hide. They give the shotgun to like the youth pastor guy. And then the lady that's pregnant, like starts going into labor. So then the religious sister and the pregnant sister are then upstairs, like having the fucking baby.
Yep.
For like basically the rest of the movie. The youth pastor guy and Dee Wallace, I think, are the only ones left besides them right now.
Well,
yeah.
And Jerry. Yes.
So Dee Wallace is like trying to like, you know, figure out what's going on. Anyway, she ends up downstairs and she has a confrontation with the monster where she kind of explains what happened to where her husband was sick with cancer and he was like sick to the point where they didn't think he was going to get better.
Yep.
And she was found out she was pregnant, and she also found out that the baby had Down syndrome, and this would be the second baby that she had because she already had Jerry.
Right.
And so this would have been the second baby with Down syndrome. She decided she couldn't do that, so that's why she aborted it. And so, you know, obviously the baby is upset, or the, you know, mutated, whatever, of survived abortion is upset about that. But Jerry overhears it. And then Jerry and the mutant guy have a conversation about how, oh, well, you know, you're lucky she didn't abort you because you have Down syndrome too, whatever. So youth pastor guy, I know, doesn't he?
He tries praying with him.
Yeah, he tries praying with him, whatever, and then he ends up dying, whatever, doesn't matter. Yeah. The mom goes upstairs to try to find Jerry because she told Jerry to run and hide. She goes upstairs. She has the shotgun now. She goes upstairs to find Jerry. Jerry pops out and she shoots Jerry. She shoots and kills Jerry.
Yep.
And then the baby is like finally born. And then they're like trying to escape. And they basically all get killed except for the baby.
Yeah. So essentially, you know, the guy kills his two sisters, and like, essentially what D Wallace gets, like, the anchor into him and stabs him multiple times with it, and ends up like getting hung with the anchor as he's like thrown out the window.
Right. Yeah. She like hangs herself with the anchor chain.
Yep.
To hold him up.
Yes.
So yeah, everybody dies, and then the baby's like crying, and that's the end of the movie.
Who knows if that baby's going to survive, because that house seemed out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Right. So that's how it ends.
Yep.
So yeah, delightful Christmas film about abortion.
Everyone's classic abortion Christmas.
So, yeah, I mean, the guy, they show the guy like one time, he's, I don't know, he looks like a fish person or something. I don't know how to describe it. He's got like one big, huge black eye, and he's got just like a mutant looking thing. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, for first thoughts, obviously, you know, we said this movie's not so good. But you know, we talked about this before. I feel like a few times, like Dee Wallace wants to take interesting roles now, right? And that's how she's the one that just played like, you know, the nice mother. Well, she's not in this one, in theory.
Well, I mean, she is though.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, again, she made a difficult choice. She agonized over the difficult. It wasn't easy for her to do. Like, in no way is she anything but a good mom that was worried at the time.
Right.
So I don't know why she took this role, because this is a generic D. Wallace mom role. I don't know. Maybe she needed money. Or
maybe she was in Australia for over the weekend.
That's possible. I don't know.
You want to start with your highlights then?
Oh, sure. Why not?
All right.
It's interesting seeing Australian Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
There's no snow or anything. I guess it's interesting. It just looked like summertime. I mean, it got real dark real quick.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it like starts off like, whoa, and then it goes back to like, you know, typical Christmas, and then it goes like real dark real fast. Like, it's not like comical, like, you know, slasher movie like you expect it to be. Like, it goes stupid dark at times. I don't quite understand the tone of this film, but, you know, hey. And the other thing I just noticed, I was, like, looking for something else to appreciate. There's no dead animals in this movie. Which is that a rarity. It's a rarity for any of these movies to not have some form of dead or mutilated or hurt animal. And I appreciate that. That's all I got. What do you got?
It's a one hell of a start.
That's not a good thing. Merry Christmas, abortion. What the, like, you can't start a fucking holiday movie, like a regular horror movie. Okay. If that's the tone you're going for, this is a fucking Christmas movie. It's literally titled Red Christmas.
Yeah.
There's like jingle bells and fucking shit and lights and stuff in the opening title cards. And then it's like goes straight to abortion. There's like no fucking gap in between.
Well, what I think was is they said, hey, what if it's really cool opening? And then improv the rest.
I guess. I don't know what the fuck they were thinking.
I don't know. I think, you know, Dee Wallace is good. She's just good in everything she does. So I did appreciate her in this movie. Okay. Better than anyone else.
That's not saying anything.
Lay sex tank. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone dies. It's odd that
the baby doesn't die.
Well, all the adults die. How about that? Which is considering like even the killer dies and D. Wallace dies. So, I mean, that's a rarity for a horror movie where every single pretty much person dies.
I don't understand why D. Wallace had to tie the chain around her own neck.
She didn't.
Like that.
Other than
she decided like she was just gonna go out that way, I guess. I don't know.
Other than I'm not gonna be in the fucking sequel.
I guess.
Do you want me rolling my low points?
Hey, sure, why not?
All right, okay. You just get to your parents' house with all your siblings there. And boom, immediately have sex in the middle of the day with the door open. Not cool.
Are you sure?
Yeah, pretty sure.
That pastor guy was into it.
Just for the guy to spy on his brother-in-law and sister-in-law having sex.
Yeah.
That's weird. I would say that let's call him the creature. Superhuman strength, because a single chop from head all the way through with an axe, not possible.
Only if you're a mutated survived abortion.
Apparently. Yeah, like I said, overall the acting, not good. I don't understand why D. Wallace was starting to break the terrace that was there, even though you're able to just walk around it. Why are you breaking it apart? I don't know. It made zero sense.
She was trying to prevent, because they were said that's how he was getting upstairs.
Mm.
And so she was tearing it down so that he wouldn't be able to get upstairs and he would have to go through the stairway, which pastor guy had the gun on.
Okay.
Still didn't. Come on, buddy. You're not paying attention. I had to watch this shit movie. You need to fucking pay attention too, buddy.
Yeah. You can go on, but it's interesting that essentially I call it the feet finish, where it literally went to like everyone's body and showed their feet. Why? I don't know.
Maybe it's a Tarantino fan.
It might have been a Tarantino fan, but I'm like, oh, okay. And then next foot, other feet. I'm like, oh, apparently we're just showing everyone's feet.
Well, okay. Also, you don't have to, there's no effects budget showing dead feet.
I mean, yeah. Really didn't see the punk girl really chopped in half. You just saw her feet at two different sides. So
correct.
That's all I got without going on forever. How about you?
I'm going to, the start on a light note is definitely on the low side for me. You don't start a fucking a holiday movie with an abortion fucking riot. I don't know what the fuck that was. There was like way too much fucking drama in the beginning of this movie. Mm-hmm. Like everybody in the family was all like fucking fighting with each other and shit. I was like, what is the point of this? Like, you're all going to die anyway. Like you know, that's going to happen.
Oh yeah.
Like, why is there all this like pointless, stupid bickering and back and forth? That was dumb as shit. The youngest daughter, they're like, oh, she's 17. She's still in high school. She looked like she was 35.
Oh yes.
There is no fucking way that she was even close to high school age. She looked older than the other sisters did.
Oh, easily.
High school, my ass. And then like, okay, abortions don't survive, people. I don't know where this is coming from. I don't know if this is like somebody that believes in like the goofy late term abortion stuff, because that's not real. I know a lot of those people try to claim that it is. It is not real. It is not a thing that happens. There's no such thing as like surviving. It has never happened and it never will.
Oh, also then the surviving abortion also makes you mutated.
Well, yeah. Mutated and with superhuman strength. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. If they would have added something like, oh, he's a fucking mad scientist and he somehow, you know, cloned thing, whatever, blah, blah. That would have been fine. But no, they like made it seem like the baby was alive in the fucking garbage can.
Yep.
Which is, it's not possible. Nope. People. Sorry. That's all I got.
All right.
So, Red Christmas 2016 Graveyard. What would you give this film?
What are Adams this week?
Apparently, they are unopened presents.
Oh, yes. I made that, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I like it. I'm just like comparing it to like the containment of this episode, right? Overall, this being the best one, how far down do I bring the other ones of this rating? So I will give this 4 unopened presents out of 10. How about you?
I'm going to cut that in half. I'm going to give it a 2. 2 unopened presents out of 10 for Red Christmas.
Yeah, hell of a start for an episode.
Well, and this is the best one, folks, just so you know. Okay, so Hell on a Shelf 2021, the gem in the crown that is this episode. Take it away.
God damn this movie. God. I'm just gonna say right now, I had this.
I'll let you just do it like a 3-sentence recap if you want. It's totally fine. I'll be okay with it.
I'm just saying, I had to stop this and start this like 8 or 10 different times. So like, this is fucking ridiculous.
Oh yeah, I did. I had to take an intermission. Like I had to take a full on break in the middle.
Yeah, because watching it on Tubi and then someone interrupting me, someone needs something for like 10 minutes, coming back, it doesn't save your spot. So I go. Go back to that spot, watch it again. God damn. So essentially, we get introduced to, on the air quotes here, abandoned house that's been there for 3 years, interview with the realtor, found footage movie, and, you know, someone died 50 years ago, 40 years ago, and, like, two brothers playing with is the worst CGI apparition out of body effects I've ever seen. And essentially, Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson from Taps show up and really go, oh, you know what? This is out of our league, or we don't want to do this. Look at the guys that cost like $5 down the street to do this paranormal investigation for us. And despite the poster having the Elf on the Shelf character on the front, we have best I could say, someone's aunt made elf.
Yeah, it looks like you go and buy like a cheapo Elf on a Shelf and they found like an old timey ribbon.
Yeah.
Or something and like tied it around it, like, oh, this is ancient. Like it does not look ancient in any way.
No, I'm not even gonna give credit to any mass produced version of this. Someone's aunt made this for them on Etsy or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And they go and investigate, and that realizing that there's paranormal spooky things happening because they're hearing voices on the spirit box telling them to die and get out and all this crap. And they're realizing they're talking to like the little boy who doesn't sound like a little boy that died 40 years ago. And, you know, we have a couple of days go by. And just think, if you've seen any episode of Ghost Hunters, just think that, but Timu version of Ghost Hunters. And you have the quality of their skills, you know, sitting on his chair in the basement, walking on the original steps of the house.
Yeah, the original steps on this 18th century house. And it's like, it looks like the house is next door to it. It's clearly in a neighborhood of similar houses. Like, I don't think they had neighborhoods like this in the 1700s, dude. I'm pretty sure
you're
making up stories.
1970s.
Exactly. Yeah, these are modern homes. Sorry, buddy.
Right. These weird have original stairs. Okay, bullshit. And you know, they're like, oh, we left the elf on the shelf and or the chair, and he's back on the shelf. Holy shit, ghosts are real.
Exactly. Yeah, the skeptic guy at the beginning was like, I don't believe in ghosts at all. The first thing happens and he's like, I totally believe you. The ghosts are here.
Yeah. Yep. Let's say a gas leak happens, they have to quickly leave the house, going back to it the next day. And, you know, things are, quote, intensifying down there, and they bring it to the basement. And, well, like, you know, the guy who's one of the main investigators is called M. He's like, well, I'm Manny, and that was my brother I killed 4 years ago. What? Holy fuck! How can you do this to us? Holy shit, everything's starting to strobe, and, you know, they're getting killed by, or bitten
well,
by
Well, yeah, it. But first they're like, I can't believe you did that to us. We're leaving. And then they don't leave.
Correct.
At all.
Right. So the guy who brought his personal horror wardrobe to the show dies. The other guy goes up the stairs and somehow mistakenly grabs a clothesline and wraps around his neck himself, killing him. And then Manny dies and his spirit leaves his body. Sure. And they, him and his brother are finally reunited. The end. There's also burglars that broke into this abandoned house to get killed in the basement at some point.
Okay. The best part, this is one of my I think it's a low point. Whatever, it's a point. The burglars, they show them like sneaking around the house and coming into the house. They're wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
And literally the first thing both of the burglars do as soon as they step inside the house is take off their mask.
Yep.
What the fuck? Why were you even wearing masks?
Oh, sorry. There's also like 7 hidden cameras there that would be clearly visible.
Oh, but, yeah.
And no one fucking mentions the burglars at all on these recordings.
Yeah. Well, they're the kind of cameras that have like the lights rings around them. So like they're not, you can't miss them.
Correct. Yeah. But that's what every good burglar does, is take out their mask once inside the house. AKA, we want our face to be in the movie. So we took our masks.
Right.
But yeah, so essentially the premise is what if our shitty equipment worked right and we found a real ghost, the movie.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, yeah, me and you were talking about this before, and it's literally like these paranormal people that go into these houses looking for ghosts and they never find shit. They have to like super cut the episode together to make it sound like they found anything at all. Mm-hmm. And it's like these people, it's like this is their wet dream. This is like what they wish would happen when they go into a haunted house. Like the ghosts are full on talking to them. Stuff is moving around with clear evidence on the cameras, you know, all that kind of shit. This is like their dream scenario.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this film is. That's all it is. It's just like, it's like fan fiction of ghost hunter shows. That's what it is.
Yeah. I'll start with my highlights.
Hey, you do that.
It ended.
That's, I'm glad. Yes, it was great.
And as you know, I talk to people that I know, and I go, "We don't know anyone involved in this movie, do we?" They're like, "No." I'm like, "Good." And that's my highlight. I don't know anyone personally involved in this movie.
Yeah,
because if I personally knew someone that did this, I would have to rethink my life choices.
Yeah, I started watching this. I was like, "This has got to be a movie. You got to like, he has to know somebody in this movie. How the fuck did he find this piece of
shit?" I have no idea how I found this movie. I feel like it, like, I was cursed that night when I wrote that list and it came up, because it doesn't really show up on any list when we're looking for Christmas horror.
No, it doesn't at all. Like, I looked at a bunch today. It didn't show up one time. I don't know where it came from.
So, yeah.
Maybe it was a ghost. A ghost put it on the list.
Maybe. Maybe it was them. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know anyone involved with this, so thank you. That's what I got. How about you?
Okay. Now, I loved their full tech breakdown. Like, mm-hmm. they literally talked about all of their like cameras and their spirit boxes and their like goofy boxes of like detectors that look like they bought it off of like, you know, fucking Temu. I mean, it's like, you know, dollar store version of like an EMF detector. It looked like it would break by looking at it funny. Like it
$5 headphones.
Yeah. The sound guy wearing headphones that you'd find in a thrift store. I mean, it was hilarious to me. And then they show like the one camera, which is like, it's got a full on like shoulder mount and everything. It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. And then, okay, the only thing I wrote down before my intermission. Now, I will freely admit that I had more than one beverage during my intermission and then came back to it. So I was a little happy by that point in time. So that everything was funny after that. Okay. So like his existential meltdown, which is, mm-hmm. like, you know, the monotone existential meltdown in which he like goes, oh, my life is terrible. Like, am I should I really be doing this? Is my life, does it have any meaning? Okay, let's go back and look at the Hell on the Shelf. Like, that's, it was like a 3-second thing, but it was hilarious to me. It was so bad. The gas leak was comically bad. Holy shit. They were like, oh, what's going on? I'm not feeling so good. The other guy goes, oh, I think there's a gas leak. What did the fucking ghost say before that? Like, gas in your mouth or some stupid shit? The spirit box.
Gas in your mouth.
Yeah, something goofy. What the look? What could that possibly mean? I'm like, the fuck you think it means? I know what it means, and I'm not even part of the movie. Like, if this is before the gas leak, like, of course we know what that means. And then like the twist where he's like, okay guys, like, I gotta tell you, my name is Manny. They were like unsurprised. They were just like this is like you told me you ate Wheaties for breakfast. Like, no reaction at all. Mm-hmm. and then they were like, oh sorry, we're reading our lines. How dare you? Okay guys, we're leaving immediately. And then they don't leave, and then they just stick around. It was holy shit. So that, I mean, they're not good, but when you're drunk, those are great. That's it.
I'm sure I'll achieve your low points.
Okay, so the burglars taking off their masks immediately was hilarious to me. The realtor is complaining, like, oh, every time I sell this house, the people just want to sell it immediately, and they just leave everything behind. Like, they don't even care how much they sell it for. It's crazy. Why would a realtor care? You're making money every single time. Like, you would be like, hey, you want to buy this house and sell it 2 months later? I'm on board. I'll be your realtor for both. You know, like, of course they're going to want to do that. Like, she would make money each time. Why would she give a shit?
Right. She gets closing costs every single
like
time.
Like, she gets, you know, she gets it coming and going. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? The whole fucking shaky image and the fake ass artifacting and shit. Like, oh my God. It was like they did it in, like, you know, Apple Movie or whatever the fuck. It was so bad.
Final Cut, not Pro.
Yeah. And like this, the fucking paranormal investigation bullshit where they're like, oh, the spirit box is telling me everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure. Got it. The acting was, I mean, just horrendous. Oh, wow. it is very, very bad. And then, of course, I mean, just the effects. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot there, but what was there was just abysmal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah. The quote abandoned house, and I think they're trying to use that line as a way to explain why there's literally CDs and DVDs still in the house and TVs and literally everything else.
Well, again, yeah, like you said, they supposedly like 3 years abandoned, right?
Yep.
And they pan over the kitchen and there's like fresh bananas sitting on the countertop. It's like, okay, like, I know this is like one of your guys's house. So, like, could you have told your wife not to, like, clean the house and go shopping the day before? Mm-hmm. You know, like, give it a little mystery? Like, it looked like someone had just cleaned their house and went shopping and like, displayed the house for guests. That's what it looked like.
Yes. Yeah. For anyone who listens that knows, I do found footage indie horror movies, right? This is bad found footage. Like, this is what gives found footage a bad name forever. Like, oh, it's shit, it's garbage. This is why. This movie is an example as to why. Because, you know, Blair Witch did it just fine with really no effects, right?
Right.
If you can't show it, don't do it. It's really easy. How many cameras are needed throughout the house? Like, did they explain those other cameras inside the house? Were they the ghost hunters cameras? Because if they were, they would have seen the footage of the burglars who were completely unnecessary to the story, going through the house and get killed. But no, never mentioned, never brought up. What was the point other than to have a body count? But right, no one fucking knows about it. It's not the realtor's cameras, it's not their cameras, whose camera.
And I think there was like loose discussion of like that the realtor had put up the cameras to find out why the people are leaving or something, which doesn't make any sense, because like, why would the people voluntarily give them footage of their inside their house.
Correct.
Yeah, like I said, it was a very, they tried, I think they tried explaining it and it didn't make any sense at all.
Right, to the point where it, there, in my mind, there's no explanation as to why they're there. Because like I said, even if she had that stuff, first off, that requires power in a house that you can't sell. Internet. And you know how hard it is to get fucking internet installed at your house. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's required for them to go, oh, we have these cameras. No, sorry. The acting. Cheesy as fuck. Like, you know, I understand for people that write and direct and earn those stuff, if you can't act, find someone that can. Really easy. And I had to stop and rewind and show the wife when the guy was scared running out of the basement as he reaches up, grabs the clothesline, puts it around his neck, and actually gets strangled with his hands still there the entire time. For it supposed to be a spirit that's possessing this elf on the shelf. He's just doing it himself. You know, does the elf bite your neck open and kill you? That seems to be how it's killed some people. Is it causing you to strangle to death? You don't know. And I don't get it. And we talked a little about the guy's wardrobe, like his personal horror wardrobe.
Right. Yeah, he couldn't not wear it. Well, I'm going to be in a horror movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I should wear my Child's Play 2 t-shirt and my distracting hat with my giant Frankenstein eyeballs on it?
Yeah.
Or whatever. I don't even know what they were. They were like these big giant eyeballs that were very distracting.
Right. So in my mind, when working on sets, is either have a custom made shirt for the movie that you're wearing or no logos. Stop with this bullshit of showing how horror fan you can be by going to Spencer's Gifts and buying the shirt. You know, it just doesn't make any sense at all. I'm not surprised there hasn't been a Hell on a Shelf too. Just saying.
There you go. You got an opening. I'm sure if you could buy the IP for like $5, you can make it too.
Well, okay. So a little side note of this, when I was talking to the other guys, I go, why is there no good found footage Christmas horror movies? And they said there's one. I agree. The only thing I can think of to do a found footage Christmas horror movie is essentially Home Alone, but like a severe home invasion with camera setup. That's it.
Interesting.
Any way to make something good like that? I'm sure we can think of something, and it'll be better than this. You know what I mean?
Easily. Easily.
I think if we took 15 minutes to think of the idea, it'd be better than this.
Right.
This movie made us rethink how we're picking these movies. And to the whole point, like, this is not fucking happening again next year.
I expect some of, you know, some badness, because there's not really any good Christmas horror movies. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But like this one is like, it's a whole new level. It's wow.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel bad for making fun of a found footage indie horror movie, but honestly, for this one, I don't.
I feel bad. It's trash.
Yeah. All right. So then, Salem, how many unopened presents out of 10 do you give Hell on the Shelf from 2021?
No, I had to put some serious thought into this. I had to do some calculations and some math earlier today. Okay. I still hate Killer Clowns more.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. But my second worst was The Fog remake,
mm-hmm,
at 0.03. I do dislike this more than The Fog remake. So it's got to be in between. I'm just going to go for 0.02. Oh, wait, no, sorry. Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. We're good.
No, that'd be that you like this more than the fog.
No, the fog is 0.03.
That's true. Yeah.
Yep. So this is
if yeah. you go negative, we would, right?
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. I don't even know, man. I've been thinking about this since I watched this. And I'm just going, what do I give it? Like, I agree. This is awful. This is easily one of the worst movies that we have watched, which is I feel bad.
You shouldn't feel bad. If people make bad things, you can call it bad. It's okay.
Okay, so my lowest rated movie ever has been The Exorcist Believer at 0.1. And I don't have many points in my list. You have a little bit more than me, but god damn this movie. I agree. Let's go 0.02. Let's stick with that. I god damn it. That's how many cents I would give this movie to make the sequel.
Like I said, man, I got about a third of the way through and I had to take an intermission and I had to like psych myself up with several beverages before I could like agree to turn it back on. I was like, all right, I think I'm ready now. I think I can make it through now. And it's not even, I don't even think it's an hour and a half long.
No.
It's like, it's not even that long.
75 minutes.
But dear God, does it feel longer than that?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we kind of prepared for shitstorm for this month with having not full on 4 weeks of Christmas horror movies. And now we kind of know why. I'm glad we prepared it that way. All right.
So let's move on. Now we're on to the mean one. 2022, otherwise known as the fucking Grinch. Like literally the Jim Carrey Grinch. It's like the horror version of that. It's
as we said, it's the Terrifier meets Jim yeah. Carrey's How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Because yeah, it's Art the Clown.
Yep.
Is the fucking Grinch. So yep. Yeah, it's great. It's great time. I'm gonna try not to spend too much time discussing this movie. So it starts off with your typical, you know, who story of the Grinch comes in. Cindy Lou finds the Grinch stealing the presents, confronts him, and then you know, his heart grows sizes and he gets happy or whatever, but it's like, you know, record scratch, rewind. That's not really what happened. What really happened was the Grinch fucking killed her parents.
Her mom.
Sorry. Yeah. The dad survives. And then she describes to the police that he was a green monster and they're all like, okay. And then, you know, fast forward 20 years, you yep. know, they had left. The family had left the town. And now they're coming back to the town to sell the house, I guess, or whatever. So they come back to the town. You know, I wasn't too sure. Maybe you can clear this up for me, Craig. Mm-hmm. Do you think the deputy was Jewish?
Yeah.
That's a joke. Because every scene that he's in, he specifically mentions that he's Jewish. And he has to say something very Jewish.
Oh, like, don't worry. That's come up with my low points. Spoiler warning.
It's like, what the fuck? Like, every scene, he's like, oh, I think that because I'm Jewish. Like, every time. I made you soup, but it's matzo ball soup because I am Jewish. And like, okay, we get it, dude. Like, it's okay. You know, we don't have to remind me. I got it.
Are you Jewish? Did the nose give it away?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, dude, calm down.
In a town that doesn't celebrate Christmas, it doesn't fucking matter.
Right. It's like, okay, dude. Like, we got it. We got the joke. Like, you can stop. Like, every scene he's in, which is quite a few, he has mm-hmm. to say something about being Jewish. It was, I don't know if that was the joke. I don't know. I felt uncomfortable towards the end. It's mm-hmm. like, I got it. Please stop.
Oh, there's a direct line from this movie that's in my low points that we haven't touched on yet.
So now this is 20 years later. Daughter and dad come back to the town for Christmas somehow. I don't whatever. It's not really explained why. I guess they're trying to take Christmas back or something.
Mm-hmm. In Newville, not Whoville.
Yeah,
Newville.
Newville, right. So then, he comes in. And the funny thing is, like, the sheriff, comes over to say hello, and they're like, "Did you catch your Christmas killer yet?" Like, I'm pretty sure you would have fucking heard if your mom's killer got caught. You know what I mean? Like, really? Why do you have to ask the question? Anyway, so they put up all the Christmas decorations and shit, and like, oh, guess what happens? The Grinch comes, kills her fucking dad, right?
Yep.
Now she's super upset. She's trying to, like, convince everybody in the town that, like, this really happened. They just say, oh, you're crazy. You're like a crazy person, right? First your mom, now your dad, whatever. I'm going to have to say some of my low points when I'm talking about this, just because it's so fucking... She's not a suspect in any way.
She should be.
Obviously. Obviously she should be fucking a suspect, but nope. No, she's not a suspect in any way. So she's trying to, like, convince people that this Grinch is for real. She goes, like, up into the mountains and finds his, like, lair, with a bunch of, like, you know, wallets and stuff for missing people. She, like, kind of sort of gets the deputy on board to look into it, but he's kind of, like, half-assing it. He's, like, trying to hit on her. So he's, like, half-assing it to try to, like, you know, keep that line open, I guess. I don't know. He's not really following through on it. She ends up finding this other old guy who his wife was killed by the Grinch.
Dr. Seuss.
Yeah. They're like together. There's the whole joke where they're trying to say Grinch, and the lady bartender keeps screaming Fitch or something.
You mean the Fitch?
Yeah.
You got an order for Fitch?
Yeah, it's that good. Yeah, it's that good. Yeah. They kind of like say, oh, we're going to team up and do this thing. The deputy goes up there and kind of finds more wallets and finds out that there's all these missing people. He finds out that they're all hikers and they came there for hiking. And he finds this website that is like saying that their town is great for hiking. He finds out that the mayor runs the website, and he finds out that there's a huge conspiracy that the mayor and the sheriff know about the Grinch. And they're intentionally sending hikers up there to the mountains so that the Grinch will eat them and not come down to the town to eat their people.
Yep.
So, like, intentionally sacrificing people. So they decide, that shouldn't happen anymore. So then they're going to fight the Grinch. I'm just cutting this whole thing short.
Yeah.
Cut all the bullshit out of the way. That's essentially what we get to. There's a montage where she somehow trains herself, like, Krav Maga, MMA, marksmanship,
trapping.
trapping, like, you know, like knife throwing, tactical gear, modification.
Homemade
explosives. Like, she has time to, like, paint her fucking guns, like, Christmas colors and
all
shit.
All of them.
Like, the shotgun is painted like a fucking candy cane and shit, mm-hmm. like... Literally. And this is all within 24 hours because she starts when it's light and it ends when it's light. So mm-hmm. this is like in less than 12 hours, she has trained herself. No one helped her. She has trained herself with all of these skills, which when the Grinch shows up, she like immediately doesn't use any of those fucking skills.
Correct.
There's like the old man is there like, you know, sniping the house or something. The deputy is there, like, he of course is comically inept. She gets all her weapons like knocked out of her hand, and then fighting, and then she finally realizes that, oh, I misremembered the whole thing. Like, he didn't like come in and murder my mom because he wanted to. It was like an accident or something. And mm-hmm. then she like gives him a gift or something, and then like his heart explodes because his heart grew sizes. I guess
bullets, explosives don't hurt him.
Right.
His heart exploding. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. His heart explodes because he finally got a gift. And then that's it. That's the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then like they show them like the town is celebrating Christmas again and Hanukkah.
But who knows? That was last year. Maybe next year the Grinch will be back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then they like now it's like a big thing to where like YouTubers are going in the woods looking for the Grinch.
Yep, because of the blurry photo.
It's because it's encrypted or whatever.
Yep.
So, mm-hmm. Like, their town tourism is safe because they're all looking for the Grinch in the woods.
Yeah.
The end. I didn't leave anything out that you want to expand on, did I?
Besides the sheriff and the mayor getting killed? No.
I'm assuming you inferred that when I told you that they were part of a conspiracy to sacrifice people. I'm sure you know that we meant they died because that's how these movies work.
Oh, easily. It's always a corrupt sheriff and mayor.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's corrupt town 101.
Correct. So that's it. So, you want me to start my high points or you want to do yours?
You can start with your high points.
All right. I'm stretching on these. Just I was trying to put something in here. So the narrator and his like rhyming poetry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not as bad as it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Not at least they tried. Not terrible. Next one. Tactical Christmas gear. I thought that was funny for a Christmas movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. What do you got?
Yeah. Well, it could have been way worse.
I don't know about that.
I'm just saying it could have been worse.
I think it would have been if they had more money. I think it would have been worse. They only had like I completely left out the fucking Santa convention that came through town in the bus and then the Grinch attacking and killing them all at a bar. I left that out. I'm pretty sure there would have been at least one more scene like that if they had more money.
Oh, yeah. I'm calling that the Terrifier scene.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. He was like,
that's a high point. It's the Terrifier
scene. That's a fucking high point?
I'm stretching.
That's a hell of a stretch.
We're going to need a montage. I was really expecting that song to play, honestly and fully, because it felt like as cheesy as a fucking montage as Matt and Trey would do.
Well, see, I grew up on action movies where montages were a normal thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, when Matt and Trey did it, it was a joke riffing on things that I already knew. See, you, because you didn't watch any 80s action movies, you think Matt and Trey made it up. They did not.
But I just have that song in my head every time there's a montage, so.
Mm-hmm.
I also scream at Christmas music playing too early, unexpectedly. Like the mayor did in her car. Shut up! I agree. Shut that music the fuck up. At least the mayor and I agree on one thing. Right?
Hey, we're in December, man. It's happening. There's nothing you can do about it.
God damn it. Yes. I'll roll into my low points. The mayor, the sheriff, pretty much all the acting. There was some practical effects, but my God, the CGI blood was quite CGI blood.
Yes, it was very bad.
I said the one day of training to do all that stuff. Like, we gave veteran shit for making this cocktail out of tennis ball and like three matches in VFW, right? She's making shit like out of Christmas ornaments.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. No, not going
to
happen.
I said she trained herself to be like a Navy SEAL in 12 hours.
Okay. Now, this is a line in the movie with one of the Jew jokes. You know, I've been a Jew. We have a history of that. How has being a Jew been working out for you so far in history? Exact line from the movie.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Wow.
Yeah, no, there was definitely an angry Jewish guy in the writer's room, for sure.
Yes. You talk about the narrator. That is... a $2 an hour Morgan Freeman impersonator for the voiceover artist, right? The narrator. He sounded like he's trying to be Morgan Freeman. Right then, he knew he fucked up.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Well, who else? If you're going to imitate somebody to be a narrator, you might as well go big.
I mean, I guess, or you could have gone for something closer to like the original cartoon or Jim Carrey's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I don't know. I
feel Boris Karloff's dead, man.
Yeah. I impersonate Boris Karloff. People don't know what the fuck he sounds like.
All right. I do.
Other people.
I'm the only person that's going to care. Everybody else is not even going to know who it is.
Yeah. and of course, influencers.
Well, yeah, obviously.
The list can go on and on. It's pretty much like, we got David Thornton Howard. How do we make him terrifier but the Grinch?
Yeah, it's like, here, watch the Jim Carrey Grinch movie like 100 times and then just do it with blood.
Mm-hmm.
That's but literally what they did.
He wasn't silent. He did grunt. Just saying. He had more speaking lines. He doesn't terrify.
Oh, boy. Well,
that's what I got.
Yeah.
All right. So, Lois here, I'm just going to say, like, this movie has the vibe of a Hallmark movie. Like, it really does. It has, like, the budget. It has, like, the, you know, the spunky, like, you know, small town sheriff and the girl that comes in out of town. Like, it's literally the plot of a fucking Hallmark movie with the Grinch in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's bad. I mean, the acting was fucking horrible. Her dad, I'm pretty sure, was a meth addict that they found on the street. Because he had fucking full-on meth teeth, and he was acting like he was fucking jacked the entire, like, 3 minutes he was in the film. He was, like,
he was
hopping all over the place. That's Christmas!
Yeah, he was quite enthusiastic. Quite enthusiastic in his role.
Yeah, Cindy, holy fucking shit. I don't know where they found her, but I don't know if they could have done worse.
Well, okay. So you ready for this one? Well, I think she's in it. She's also a stunt performer, just like Sienna from Terrifier 2. So they thought they could recapture that idea.
Well, like, again, at the end, when she's doing like MMA stuff, you can tell she knew what she was doing.
Yes.
So I was pretty sure she was like a stunt person or something, because mm-hmm. she was pulling that stuff off. And yes. she looked like she had, you know, is like a gym rat, you know,
yeah.
like she was definitely in shape. So that, yeah, I buy that. She can't act for shit, though.
Well, I mean, you couldn't have an actor and a stunt performer. You get, but,
like I said, I could not get over, like, she asked the sheriff, did you find my mom's killer yet? Like, do you think you would have been informed of that? You're a fucking adult. Yes, you would have heard if that it was, mm-hmm. dear God. Yeah, like you said, the FX and CGI was fucking horrible. Yeah, like, why was she not a fucking suspect in her dad's murder? Like, she, as a child, she said her mom was murdered by a green furry thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then as an adult, oh, my dad was murdered by a green furry thing in the same spot, and I was the only witness both times.
Yep.
Yeah, you would have been in jail. I'm sorry, you would have been in jail.
Well, it's not like her mom wasn't killed, like, in this, like, obviously grown adult way. She was, like, fell and impaled on, like, a memo holder.
Yeah. I already made the whole Jewish deputy joke. I could not believe how bad the Jim Carrey slapdick Grinch impression was. It really was fucking horrible. And I hated every minute. That's all I got. We'll say the mean one.
Mm.
This is me. I'll go first. point. 4 unopened presents out of 10.
So it was a whole 20% or 80% worse than Red Christmas.
Yes.
I mean, am I disappointed I watched this movie? Yes and no. Am I glad I'd never have to see this movie again? Absolutely.
You hope.
I hope.
Never say never.
I hope. The wife's like, should I watch this movie? I go, no, it's not because it's like Terrifier. It's because it's a bad movie. I will give this 1 unopened presents out of 10. It's and unfortunately, I feel like there's going to be a sequel.
Oh, probably. With Art the Clown in it. I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to add?
I sincerely apologize for making you watch this movie.
All right. So stage 1 of the holiday trash has been taken out. So we will have a palate cleanser next week. We're going to break it up. We are going to have another Christmas episode, but we're taking a break for a week, and then we'll be right back after that. We're just filling in the in-between palate cleanser with, we're revisiting some films that have come out recently that are additions to shows we've already done. I think we did an episode like this before, a wrap-up episode. I couldn't find one. I didn't look very hard, but whatever. So that's what we're doing. So we'll be revisiting the Aliens franchise and talking about Romulus. We'll be taking a trip back to the 80s for Maxine and kindly rewinding for VHS Beyond.
Yes, and we're doing this wrap-up this way because neither of us wants to watch this X trilogy again, especially number two.
X, the first one I like a lot. I just really don't like Pearl, yeah.
Correct. So we visit them in our own way for this trilogy to the point where I don't have to watch, you don't have to watch Pearl again, ever again.
Hopefully not. Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah. So we'll be Romulus, Maxine, VHS Beyond. And then following that, we'll be back with more Christmas stuff. If that's what you're into, you want to watch us suffer. That's 2 weeks. So remember, we watch bad movies so you don't have to.
And my God, this week was bad movies.
Yes, it was.
This has been Graveyard saying, have you checked in the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.